Greetings, James. This is a continued series that I'm trying to get a message across to my family about the importance of reconciliation. But the relationship that you and I have is perhaps a little different because of the fact that you're a little bit younger than most everybody else right now. So a lot of the things I would say to you perhaps have very little meaning. So what I thought is I want to express to you some fundamentals. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that very clear. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that does is the question is why? Is it true? Things of that nature. And unlike as a young follower of Christ, I couldn't answer those questions well. I can now. And I would be happy to engage anyone on them. But there are some fundamentals. And I would like to encourage you in some fundamentals. Why? Well, you know, for example, there's a repeated theme that Moses tells Joshua. Moses says this in Deuteronomy. Moses, the author, the person that the Lord used to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five of the books of the Bible, often called the Torah or the Pentateuch. But he ends with a repeated refrain of be strong and courageous. Says it several times in Deuteronomy 31, and then Joshua, who picks up effectively after Moses in the book of Joshua, starts off with be strong and courageous in verse 6. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So it's a constant theme. Verse 18, again, only be strong and courageous. Chapter 10, verse 25, you shall not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous. So you see this repeated over and over again. How? How are you to be strong and courageous? How was that manifested? I would suggest it's manifested in obedience to Christ. What is obedience to Christ? It's shown in two ways. Love and love. The greatest two commandments. Where are they found? Well, Deuteronomy 6, again, the last book that Moses writes, you'll hear, if you are someone who subscribes to the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the Jewish version, one of the things that a lot of people do who subscribe to that, I would suggest is because they've turned it into a ritual rather than gone towards obedience toward it. But they will repeat Deuteronomy 6:4. It's hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They will repeat that in the morning and in the evening. Because verse 7, you shall teach them diligently your children and talk with them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way, when you lie down and when you rise. So that when you lie down and when you rise, they took that and they turned it into a ritual so that before bed, when they get up in the morning, they recite 6:4, Deuteronomy 6:4. But they don't say, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They say, Shema, Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Because that's the Hebrew. The problem is, that's not what it says. It's Shema, hear, Israel, Yahweh, Eloheinu, Yahweh, Echad. A Jew, a lot of Jews, will not say Yahweh, or some will say Jehovah, but they will not say that, the name of God. They will use Adonai. This is just a brief lesson. I will claim Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad, because as a follower of Christ, Yahweh is the Lord Jesus Christ. But they repeat that verse, but the important verse is the one afterwards, verse 6, Deuteronomy 6, 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Important verse. You will see that in the Gospels, Jesus points to this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So the command, the fundamental command of God is to love God. But he said the second is like it. What is the second? Well, you find that in Leviticus, the book before. A little bit before that. Well, let's go to Leviticus 19. Let's start at verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So there's the two things that are vital here. Love the Lord, love your neighbor. But look at the Leviticus 19. It's a side point is you shall not hate your brother in your heart, reason frankly with your neighbor, and so forth. Neighbor, brother, and so forth. Yeah. These words have some, perhaps we might say, flexibility. Because there is neighbor, kinsman, and things of that nature. There's a range of what it could mean, depending upon the context. Whether a neighbor is somebody like people who live next door to me, the people who live in my community, the people who are part of my ethnos, part of my culture, which could be, you know, then of course there's the political country, which I would suggest is not addressing, or it's all people of the world. So there's that one aspect of neighbor, and you can see this in the Good Samaritan story. You know, when the question is, "Who is my neighbor?" and basically is everyone. But the other thing is brother, because brother has again a variety of meanings. One where you have absolute shared parents. Right now, you don't have a brother, but Charlotte has a brother. You. And you may one day have a brother, but there's brother because they have the same set of biological parents, such as you and Charlotte, or there's a brother in the sense as a half-brother. You have one common parent, or there's a brother in the sense that we have a like shared followers of Christ, and brother also goes, again, the most broadest interpretation. Everyone in the world is your brother. Those things are fascinating. But one of the things that I find vital is, you know, especially because I've discussed with people, there's a common idea which is called the non-aggression principle. I pondered actually trying to express this in detail. But the non-aggression principle is the idea of that I'm simply not going to do anything to make anything aggressive towards my neighbor. A lot of people talk about that. Why? Why would you do that? What do you do when they aggress against you? I suggest the weakness of that whole thing. But when the Lord gives that command, it's not don't be aggressive against your neighbor. It's love your neighbor. Radically different. Because if I'm not going to be aggressive against my neighbor, I'm not going to steal from him. If I'm going to love him, if there's a need, I will fill it. If I'm requested to fulfill a need, you know, the common thing of the day, you hear about the run on toilet paper because of the dreaded virus. Right now, I think I have one unused, I mean, there's some rolls on the, you know, but I think I have one unused roll of toilet paper. If my neighbor comes to me, do I have the attitude of, no, sorry, I'm going to save this one? Or do I, without hesitation, yes, I have an unused roll, here it is. Even though than what I have left. That's it. Because toilet paper is not that important to me. My neighbor is. I'm not called to love my toilet paper. I'm called to love my neighbor. That's the difference between the non-aggression principle and love your neighbor. But it goes one step further. Why do I love my neighbor? Is it simply because it seems wise? No. Read the passage. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That last little part, I am the Lord, is what makes it vital. It's not because it's wise. It's not because it seems like a kind thing, like a good thing or whatnot. The Lord commands it. Very simple. The Lord commands it. I don't love my neighbor because I want love in return. I love my neighbor irrespective of my neighbor because the Lord commands me to. I love my neighbor because the Lord commands me to. Why do I love the Lord? We love him because he first loved us. And then, of course, he commands us. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Not in a wimpy way, fully. How's that expressed? And then, of course, you can go to like 1 John 2. If I don't love my neighbor, how do I really love the Lord? Because if I can't love my neighbor who I see, how can I love the Lord who I don't? That's the question posed in 1 John. So these fundamental concepts, the idea of love, it's really simple. When you get into theology, you'll get into all sorts of things. You want to start a fight. Talk about free will versus election. That'll start a fight within the Christian community. I mean, it could get ugly. That's secondary. That is probably the biggest divide within the Christian community. It's secondary. Fundamental. Love. So, James, you're my grandson. I wanted to offer you something of encouragement. Something that, as someone who's only some months old, you're probably not going to grasp. But it's my hope that in years to come, you might see this and say, ah, the Lord commands me to love. The Lord, who is the Lord? The creator who entered his creation to redeem his elect. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at the Gospel of John, the way near the end, when the apostle Thomas sees Christ, and when he says, my Lord and my God, to Jesus Christ, that's my attitude. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God. My kurios and my theos. He's a person who commands me what I'm to do. He's a person who creates me, sustains me. And it's to him and him alone I yield. I must. I have to. There are lots of other things. You know, is the Bible true? Yes, I will contend it is, and I'll give you the reason why. I don't think we're ready to take that on. I would love to have that opportunity with you or anyone else. I do so with others. It'd be wonderful to do with you. I didn't know what to offer you at this point. I'm the guy trying to reconcile a family. Hopefully by the time you can have a grasp of this, you will find that, wow, I heard about how the family was reconciled and I'm glad to see it was. That would be my hope and prayer. That you will see that. You will not know a time of division. But if you do or you don't, I'm offering this right now. I want you, as my grandson, you need to first, your allegiance is to your parents, your mom and dad. But I'm your grandfather, and I got to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Deuteronomy 6, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And I think a good argument could be made, your children and children's children and so forth. So I'm going to proclaim obedience to Christ. I do that far, far, far more and far more loudly and far more clearly. One of my, it's the idea to speak boldly, clearly, and unambiguously, parousia. I've grabbed on to that, and I'm striving for that. And I'm trying to do that right now with you. James, hi, I'm your granddaddy, and I love you.